Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And let's go to our first reading, my friends. But before we do, let's do our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Number two, is your heart wide open for God? Check. Number three, is your Bible open? Check. And number four, are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to the four questions, that you and I are ready once again to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. And here it is. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan seven times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Naaman turned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha said, "As the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any god except to the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the Word of God from the Old Testament, in the second book of Kings, at the word of Elisha, the man of God, his flesh became like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. A very powerful miracle that we have to really follow up with a question. What has God restored for you to increase your faith? What has the Lord done for you to help you in your life? And what changes have you made as a result of it? And here, the cleansing of a man with leprosy. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child. Cleansed of leprosy once again. What has God cleansed for you? What has he helped you with to move you forward in your faith and in life itself? Has he helped you with addiction to drugs or alcohol, sex, gambling? Has he helped you to move forward from adultery or from a lifestyle conducive for criminal activity? How has God moved you forward physically, mentally, and spiritually as you look at your own life, my friends? Because here in the second book of Kings, we see a man who has been cleansed of a leprous situation, leprosy, and changed his life. It's life-changing. And so with every blessing that God gives us, we are changed one step at a time. And we can use those blessings as inspirations to help us to live a better life, help us to help people, inspire us to do the service work that we are called to do. And it's a beautiful thing when we acknowledge how the Lord can heal those who need healing. And having worked in recovery homes with men who were addicted to all kinds of drugs and alcoholism, when the Lord takes it away, makes them new again, gives them a clean heart, it's a wonderful thing to see and to eyewitness the new life in Christ that this man begins to live. And when things are taken away, we have to give praise and thanks to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ for making it happen, because there are so many examples of people who have not succeeded in the area of recovery from drugs and alcohol, with a heavy recidivism rate, men going back into using again and again and again, close to 83% nationwide. But where God is present and where we have a focus on the Word of God, the love of God, and the peace of God, success is on the horizon. There is success to be had, but many organizations, you know, try to take on the recovery program without that spiritual element, that focus on the Lord. And as a result, recovery is sometimes non-existent. But we give praise and thanks for those who have recovered from sex, drugs, gambling, alcoholism, and lifestyles conducive for criminal activity, because we have seen the changes that are powerful. When men have made changes and their families can benefit from it, their children are recipients of the blessings that are God-given. It's a beautiful thing, once again, to eyewitness. So at this time, we just give praise and thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ for the opportunity to share the Word of God and the blessings of healings, physical, mental, and spiritual healings that only God can do. Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. And here it is. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the word to Timothy from St. Paul, the question is about trust. And we want to pose the question to you and I, my friends, who do you trust today and why? For the word from St. Paul says, if we believe in Jesus, we die, then we will live with him in eternity. Once again, if we believe in Christ Jesus and then die, then we will live with him in eternity. Isn't this where you and I want to be? Isn't this the zone that we are called to strive for? And we believe in our hearts and we confess with our tongues. And it's powerful. And in the word from St. Paul, once again, he talks about the word of God is not chained like a criminal. The word of God is free. It's our choice to read it, to live it, to love it, and to share it with people of all walks. It's our jobs. We are called to engage in the Word of God. Hence, here on our program, we explore the Word of God with an open heart, an open mind, with flexible time, so that we are not rushed or distracted, and that we can engage properly with the Holy Spirit as we explore the reading here from St. Paul to Timothy. And there are those out there who would love to remove the Word of God from different venues, as it was removed in 1962 from the public school system. There are those out there who ignore the Word of God, who disagree with the Word of God, who make a case against our Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I, my friends, must step up to the plate and to defend the faith. And we're in good company with St. Paul. And the Word of God, my friends, although we have the church each and every week, the Holy Mass, the Word of God is available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's up to you and I to make a decision to choose to engage in the Word of God. And the Word here once again talks about this saying is trustworthy. Who do you trust today and why, I ask you? Do you place your trust in God or is it in man? Do we place our trust in the Word of God, or is it in some other policy manual, some other document? Because the Word of God has been given us guidance and direction for thousands of years. The Word of God has been created to help us to live a good life. And the Word of God is available for the taking. It's up to you and I, however, to make that decision to move forward each and every day and to study the Word, to learn from it, to share it, to love it, to live it out. And in St. Paul's readings from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, I want to highlight the fact that St. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible, wrote many letters. And God, you know, clearly was the place where St. Paul put his trust. And like St. Paul, you and I must make a decision to place our trust in God versus in man, who will disappoint us at some point. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and will never disappoint. So we want to, you know, make it clear that St. Paul sends us a great message about eternal life. And he says, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. And this is eternal life. living with our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. So I pose the question to you and I in our daily walk. Are we advocating for Jesus, or are we denying him in some ways, small ways or large ways? Are we denying Jesus, setting ourselves up for failure where he will deny us? Or are we walking with the Lord in his ways, following in the footsteps of St. Paul, a true disciple of the Lord, doing the work of the Lord on the front lines in whatever venue he will have us? Which is it, my friends? Where do you stand today? Are we in denial of this? Are we being honest with ourselves? Or are we clearly advocating for Jesus Christ and our faith in him? Are we sharing the message of the gospel, or are we holding back? Because God calls us to walk with him, to live with him, to reign with him, and never to deny him. He goes on to say, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. So no matter what we do, God is always faithful to us. He's always there for us, reliable, dependable. He's always there to love us. His love will never stop. But it's up to you and I to change our unfaithfulness to being faithful to the Lord, because God calls us truly to a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. He calls us to go home to the Father, and no one can get to the Father except through the Son. So our Lord's relationship, which is personal, should be an objective each and every day. So we strive to grow in the Lord. And through our Blessed Mother Mary, my friends, at this time we pray for my relationship and for your relationship with Jesus Christ, that Our Lady will help us to get closer to our Lord, because that is what Our Lady does. She brings you and I closer to her Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to our gospel reading now from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. And here it is. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the gospel of Luke, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Once again, the objective for God to help cleanse people through his miracles and miraculous ways is a blessing to so many. But are we thankful for the blessings that we receive? Do we acknowledge the good things that God gives us each and every day? And in the reading from Luke today, 10 lepers listened to Jesus and were healed. Are we listening to Jesus? Are we standing by with open ears, or are we close-minded? 10 lepers, my friends, were healed, but only one of the 10 glorified God in a loud voice and fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. The other 90% of those healed did not take a moment out of their day to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what had happened. 90% walked away without giving thanks, praise, and glory. You and I, my friends, want to acknowledge the good things that God does for us each and every day and take a moment out of our busy schedules. Take a minute or two to give him thanks and praise whenever we can for all of the good things that he does for us. We must acknowledge. But why is it that 90% of the lepers did not return? Why is it? Was it ego, pride? Was it attitude? I'm too good for that. Did they not have an attitude of gratitude, thankfulness? Isn't that the zone we want to be in? And like a football player who is running down the field after a reception and trying to make yardage, he strives to get into the end zone. Isn't that the end zone that you and I want to be in? That attitude of gratitude, giving thanks to God for the blessings that he has given us? 90%. How many people in the world do you think are in that same percentage where they neglect God, neglect to give him thanks and praise for the blessings? How many of the people out there are unwilling to take a moment from their schedules and to thank God for the great gifts that he has given them throughout the day, throughout the week, the month, the year, throughout their lives? At this moment, we want to take a moment to truly acknowledge God's gifts, graces, and blessings that he has bestowed on us, because that's the zone we want to be in, with an attitude of gratitude. We want to give thanks to God for all the good he has given us, all the good he has done for us, helping us to solve problems, to fill voids, to satisfy needs, the needs of our families, our husbands and wives, our parents and grandparents, the needs of our children. We want to acknowledge the great things God does for the human race in giving us air to breathe, the ability to walk and talk when so many cannot, the ability to hear, to listen, and to respond when so many are unable to physically hear other people and they live in silence, the powerful gift of hearing and walking and talking, things we take for granted, my friends. Many years ago, I was stricken with an illness called mononucleosis when I was in fifth grade, and I lost the ability to walk and the ability to move all muscles. Couldn't write my name. I couldn't get out of bed. I was in New York University Hospital and lost 32 pounds during that 3-week period. They had misdiagnosed the illness, and it took a couple of weeks to figure this out. In the meantime, I was truly in a very difficult position. And the priests came and the nuns came and all the friends and family came to say hi and to see how I was doing. But things were not good. And my mother spent 21 days sleeping in the hospital. But we were fortunate because God was there. God helped us. But I can remember before the diagnosis was truly clarified and the medicine was given to me, there was a moment where we really thought that my time would be coming and I was going to die. But God brought me through. And on the way back, God circled me with some of the best people in our lives. He brought me through, and we give praise and thanks for that three-week period in New York University Hospital where God provided some of the best nurses and doctors to figure this out. And he brought me through. And we give praise and thanks to truly our family and good friends who showed up in critical moments to bring the love and support that was needed to help us to get through that critical time. And for those out there who are suffering from illnesses, whether it be cerebral palsy or MS, cancer, stroke victims, dementia, Alzheimer's, we give God praise and thanks for the caregivers who show up each and every day to provide high quality care, to solve the problems medically in the day-to-day of life. And we give God all the glory, praise, and honor, all the thanks for providing the doctors, the surgeons, and the people who administer the medicine throughout the day, hours upon hours throughout the night, who do the job as caregivers and get the job done, who are there to comfort the people. Because if we don't take a moment to thank God for this, isn't it a great mistake? Don't we owe God a bit of thanks for all that he does for us? I remember in aviation, flying across the ocean for the first time through thunderstorms, and how God had brought us through to the other side. And it was miraculous. And so this week, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I challenge you to take more time out of your day to thank God for the gifts, graces, and blessings that he has bestowed on you and your family. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. That's our show for today. Thank you for being here at Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. We'll see you next time. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.